We turn in Holy Scripture this morning to Romans chapter 3. We'll begin our reading there at verse 19. And we'll read through chapter 4, verse 8. The text that we consider is verse 5 of Romans chapter 4. Romans 3, verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God, which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid, yea, we establish the law. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Thus far, we read the Word of God this morning, considering verse 5 as the text. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the inspired apostle at the beginning of chapter 4 calls us to the particular case of Abraham. He calls us to consider his case and begins with the question of verse 1, what shall we say then that Abraham our father as pertaining to the flesh hath found? That is, looking at himself, what has Abraham found that he can take credit for? What has Abraham found in his life that he can point to and say, this is the reason that I am right with God? Can he point to his faithful religious devotion to God? Can he point to his morality and say, I have been good enough, I have behaved well enough? Can he point to his behavior in the world before men? Can he point to his behavior in his home? As a husband, as a father, has he found something that he can boast of in himself? Verse 2, goes on to say, "For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God," or not toward God. There's the hypothetical. If he is justified, if he's right before God on the basis of works, then Abraham has reason to glory in himself, not toward, not in God. God doesn't receive the glory. God doesn't receive the credit. Abraham does. But then now here's the reality, not the hypothetical, in verse 3, for what saith the scripture? Abraham worked? No. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And then verse 4 becomes general. "Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt." This is true not only now for Abraham, but for anyone. Anyone who works to earn righteousness, then the reward is not a free gift of grace, but it is wages. It is debt. Salvation becomes a merit-based system. The man who works to have salvation, who obtains salvation through works, doesn't point to God and say, "To God be the glory for the free gift." But that man is like the employee who, after he has put in his 40 hours or so and receives a paycheck, says, "I earned this. This is mine. This is my paycheck. This is my salvation. I glory in my work." But then verse 5, this is the contrast. "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." To the one who believes, there is no working. To the one who believes for salvation, salvation is not a works righteousness, merit-based system. To the one who believes, salvation is a matter of free grace and mercy, a gift from God. "He that believeth, believeth on him that justifieth." Not the worthy, not the one who has found something in himself to boast of, but he believeth on him who justifieth the ungodly, and his faith is counted for righteousness. Now there's two things, briefly, to note about the apostle's argument by way of introduction. First of all, he is establishing that no one, not even in the Old Testament, not even Abraham, is justified by works. And you can see the argument here this morning, can't you? If anyone could be justified by works, if anyone could be justified by the fact that he has the blood of Abraham, and not as a descendant of Abraham, but because he is Abraham, the Hebrew of the Hebrews, the Jew of all Jews. If anyone could say, "I'm justified because of how I've served God, because of how I have been upright in my moral behavior," it would be Abraham. But Abraham never said, "I believe I am justified because of my works." Abraham has never said, "I'm justified because I'm worthy enough." But Abraham saw himself as unworthy and justified only by faith. So secondly, if Abraham is not justified by works but by faith, then this is the hope of every Jew and every Gentile who believes. If Abraham was ungodly, if Abraham could only be justified by grace through faith, this is the point of the text, then I can say, then you can say, there's hope for me, an ungodly sinner too. The point that the apostle is making here in the whole of the chapter and in the text is this: don't think of yourself as different from Abraham, but think of how you are just like him. Think of how unworthy, ungodly Abraham was counted righteous by faith in the Old Testament. And no, that's how God counts his people righteous in the New Testament as well. Salvation is to the ungodly sinner who does not work, but who believes God, and his faith is counted to him for righteousness. Let's consider then this morning, on this occasion of the Lord's Supper, the ungodly justified. The ungodly justified. 3 points briefly. One, without works. That's how the apostle begins in the text. Secondly, by faith. The apostle mentions believing in God, and he mentions faith that is counted for righteousness. And then thirdly, let's notice that this justification and righteousness comes from God. Who do we believe? God, who justifies the ungodly. Now at the beginning of the text, the apostle Paul speaks of him that worketh not, but to him that worketh not. Now this must not be misunderstood, as if the apostle Paul now is giving approval to and encouraging the idea that Christians do not have to do any works to serve God. He is not saying either that Abraham in the Old Testament was a man who never worked in the sense of he never did any good works. Certainly the apostle Paul would not contradict the testimony of Hebrews 11 verse 8 that says that Abraham had faith and that by that faith he obeyed God. Hebrews 11 verse 8 reads, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went." There's a good work that a saint does. It's out of faith, by faith. It is done according to the word of God. He obeyed God, and it was done for the glory of God. Abraham was not seeking himself there. He was doing something that was self-sacrificial, He was denying himself. If he was thinking of himself, he would have said, "I'm never going to do that. I'm never leaving this home that I know to go to a place that I know not." But he went in faith. And then there's the testimony of Hebrews 11, verse 17. "By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son." By faith, he obeyed God when God told him, "Take your son, the son of the promise, and offer him as a sacrifice to me." Abraham was a man of faith who, out of that faith, did good works. And this is the experience of every believer. You experience that. The Apostle Paul is not coming to you this morning and saying, "Now you as a believer, you don't work at all. You don't do any good works. You work not." The fact is that you by faith, as a justified sinner, want to do good works to thank God. You want to do good works to the glory of God. And you are busy living your life trying to conform your life to the law of God. You are trying to do good works. And the Apostle Paul even turns to that later in this epistle. In Romans 6, he says about the justified sinner, "You're dead to sin with Christ. You're no longer a servant to sin. You must serve Christ and serve righteousness. You must work in that sense." And then also in Romans 12, he explains how those who are justified must live lives of good works, loving God and loving the neighbor, and he goes on through the end of the book of Romans explaining how justified Christians work. But here in chapter 4, he's not there yet. Here in chapter 4, as in the other chapters here at the beginning of the book of Romans, he is speaking about the great work of God in justifying sinners. And he is establishing the truth of justification by faith alone without works. Later on, it's appropriate to talk about lurking, about doing good works as the fruit of justification. Here, in justification, in God making a person or declaring a person to be right before him, there are no works. So that when he says, to him that worketh not, he means to say this, to him who does not work in order to merit justification. To him who does not work in order to say, I've earned the right to stand before God without sin or guilt. I've earned the right to stand before God as one who has fulfilled all righteousness. Abraham did not work for justification. Instead, he said, I do no work. I have no good works. I confess myself to be an ungodly sinner. That this morning is the confession that you and I must make first of all as well. Before God, the great judge, who is righteous and holy, I do no work that makes me worthy of standing before him. And this is the teaching of all of Scripture. Go back to chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. So anyone who is going to say, I have goodness, righteousness before God, is stopped by the law of God, and then must go on to say, according to verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Titus chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done. In Galatians 2, verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, we work not. That becomes clear when we notice in the second place that the text speaks of the justification of the ungodly. Not those who have cleaned up their lives, gone through some kind of moral improvement, but to those who are unworthy, damn worthy sinners, does God give this great gift of justification. What are you at the moment when God first says about you, not guilty? At the first moment of salvation, which was so early for some of us that we didn't know when that moment occurred. We weren't conscious of it. And that was probably true of Abraham. The truth is that we were not godly people that God came to and said, now I declare you to be righteous. But this was true for Abraham. This was true for David. This was true for Moses. This was true for you and me, every one of God's people. When God came to us, he came to us as those who were ungodly in ourselves. And he first said, not guilty, righteous. But now this remains true even after we become Christians. In justification, we stand before God, the righteous and the holy judge. And there's no point in my life or in your life that you can ever say, and now I stand before him in myself as godly. In the sense that I'm worthy because of what I have done. I am worthy to be declared righteous. No, there's still so much sin in us. So much imperfection. And that's what's striking about the reference to the life of Abraham that the Apostle Paul makes here in Romans 4. He's pointing to Genesis 15. He is pointing to that means an event in Abraham's life that takes place long after he was called out of Ur of the Chaldees and by faith obeyed God, going to the place not knowing whither he went. That means that this is at a point when you might say to yourself, but isn't Abraham already justified? Hasn't he already been declared not guilty before God? Hasn't he already been declared righteous so that before God, Abraham is now the godly man? He's already done many good works of gratitude and service to God. And yet when it comes to justification, Abraham at this point still is called the ungodly. Now that's the way that I need to look at myself today too, and you too, apart now from Christ. As I look at myself, what I have accomplished, even in my good works, inasmuch as they are still imperfect and tainted with sin, I've accomplished no righteousness. This will be true on the day of the final judgment as well. When you think of that day, you are not thinking at all, are you, that in that day, finally, I'm going to be able to take my whole life of Christian service to God, and I'm going to be able to say to Christ as the judge, ah, certainly I can point to my righteousness, to my works, in order to be justified before you and before God. No, our only hope in that day, as we are conscious before that pure and righteous judge of all of our unholiness and unrighteousness, our only hope will be this, that he justifies the ungodly. Now, he doesn't do that by works. He does that by faith. The apostle refers to faith twice here in the text. First, he speaks of those who believe God. That's the activity of faith. And then he speaks of faith being counted for righteousness. Now, as I said, the apostle was pointing to a specific time in the life of Abraham. He quotes Scripture, Genesis 15, verse 6. And before that verse, where it said he believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness, God had made the promise to Abraham again that he would have many children, seed as many as the stars in the sky in number. In fact, he said to Abraham at that point, I want you to look in the sky right now. I want you to look at all of the stars in the sky. I want you to count them. And I want you to know that's how many children you will have. Well, Abraham is 87 years old, roughly, at this time. And that means his wife Sarah is around 77 years old. This is impossible as far as man is concerned. But God has spoken, and this is faith. I believe the word of God. Excuse me. That was counted to Abraham for righteousness. Abraham believed the coming of the Savior, Jesus Christ. He believed that though he was ungodly, that God was going to work out his salvation through Jesus Christ. And it wasn't going to be because he was Abraham, he was a Hebrew. And not because he had been so faithful to God, But he believed, though I am ungodly, a sinner, God will save me. He will justify me. That does seem impossible, doesn't it? To you and me this morning, from a human point of view, that God will declare me, who am ungodly, to be not guilty, that he will declare me, who has no righteousness, to be righteous, that I might stand before him, be worthy, counted worthy to be one of his children, and to inhabit heaven. Well, faith takes hold of that, believes that, and then that is counted for righteousness. Now, the text is stressing the positive. But there's a negative and a positive that takes place in this transaction. And the negative is explained in verses 7 and 8 here. Blessed, this is what David speaks of in Psalm 32. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. This is what happens by faith, not by works. You cannot work to expunge your record of sin, or think of it as an account, a bank account. You have this great debt, this huge debt of trillions and trillions of dollars. You have an infinite debt of sin that you have merited, sin that you have committed and that you deserve to have in your account. And that's going to be wiped out. That's going to be canceled. Not by works, but by faith. And then the positive side is, though you haven't earned it, though you haven't merited anything, though you have done nothing to put anything in the account of righteousness, God views you and declares you to be righteous, to have trillions of dollars in that side of the ledger. Now, we must hasten to say this morning, that does not mean here in the text when the apostle says that faith is counted for righteousness, that faith is your righteousness, that faith makes you worthy. The apostle here in the text is teaching us that Abraham had nothing to boast of about himself, and that you and I have nothing to boast of about ourselves. And if we turn faith and say, I believe God, and that's what makes me worthy, then we are making our faith something we can boast about. No, the text is saying, not faith justifies, God justifies. And he doesn't justify the believer, notice that. It's not you believe and now God justifies you, but you're ungodly. And God justifies you by faith. But now what is important to understand about the apostles' teaching is this. We need to put our faith in God, actively believe in him and trust in him and his word. And when we do, that's when we experience God declaring us justified in our hearts and our minds. What the apostle is dealing with is this, the reality that we still sin. The reality that we still have much ungodliness in us, and we deal with guilt. And I'm not sure which is the worst guilt for us to deal with in our experience. Is it the guilt of the accusations of the devil and his hosts? He comes and he whispers to us, you're not worthy. Who are you to think that you are a child of God, you ungodly person? Or is it the guilt that people in the world or people in the church, people around us, accuse us of, pointing fingers at us? I see your sins. I know you're not worthy. Or I think perhaps the worst is the accusation of our own consciences. I know my sin. You know your sin. And now you're going to tell me, you're going to tell yourself, you're forgiven, you're righteous before God. And we can get caught up in sin and unworthiness and doubts. And we want to do something about that. That's a natural thing. Like Martin Luther, we want to do something to get rid of those doubts. We want to have the assurance of salvation. And maybe we think, well, if I do enough works of penance or some other thing, I can clear up my doubts. And the Apostle Paul comes and says, are you dealing with sin? Have you examined your life this week and seen all of the ways that you fall short? Do you know your guilt before God, your unrighteousness before God? Well, it's not to him that worketh, but to him that worketh not. Don't work to try to deal with your guilt, but believe God. And that faith will be counted as righteousness in this way. Understand, this isn't just something that God does in heaven, but it's something now that he does in our hearts and in our minds by the preaching of the gospel. That's why he calls us to worship every Sunday, so that he can declare anew to us, not guilty, righteous. And that's why he's given us the sacrament, to point us to the death of Jesus Christ, to give us a memorial that testifies to us of the forgiveness of sins and our righteousness through him. And he says to us constantly, believe. Believe God, and you may know you're righteous. And the apostle makes clear that this knowledge of our righteousness is a gift from God when he says, no, it's not of works that you come to know you're righteous. And it's not really your faith that has given you the gift of righteousness. But he says, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Your faith is a gift from God. Your justification is a gift from God. Your righteousness is a gift from God. And if you're asking, where does that righteousness come from? If it's not by my works, and if that righteousness is not by my faith either, the answer is that righteousness comes from God through his Son, Jesus Christ. This is really what the apostle is going to make plain in chapter 5. What is the basis of our righteousness and our justification? But now we can consider that this morning, because this is what faith clings to that is counted to us for righteousness. What does faith cling to that is counted to us for the forgiveness of sins? To the perfect work of Jesus Christ, to his blood and his death. I have this huge account full of the debt of sin. What is it that wipes that out? It's not my works. It's not ink, but it's the blood of the cross of Jesus Christ. And by faith, I cling to that, and God counts me as not guilty. And what is it that makes me righteous? What is it that makes me worthy to be accounted righteous before God, filling that part of my ledger with righteousness? It's the perfect righteousness of Christ. So it's not because I'm so religious, so moral, because I've got my life and my act together. But it's because while I was still an ungodly sinner, that God made that great double exchange. He took my sins and gave them to Christ. And in exchange for that, he took Christ's righteousness and he gave that to me. That's the good news for us to tell to others. That's the good news for us to declare to sinners in the midst of this world. That's the good news for us to hear this morning through the preaching and the sacrament. You haven't done enough. You never will. And you don't have to, because God justifies the ungodly by faith alone, through Christ alone, apart from works. Amen. We'll now